Good morning, everyone. Please, if you have your Bible, why don't you turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God and how it's going to be like and all that. And it's one of the things that he's speaking about here in verse 14 to 30. Let me read it. It says, in terms of the kingdom of God, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. He who had received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his money, his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So, take the talent from him and give it to he who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have it in abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast this worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Amen. This is an amazing scripture that I believe is going to speak to us. We have been looking into things that as Christians in our lives kills our joy, because ultimately the joy of the Lord is supposed to be our strength as we go about doing things. But there are certain things that kills joy, and that's what we are looking at. Today I'm looking at sloth. And my title is "So Busy But Slothful." It looks a bit contradictory. That how can I be busy and be slothful? And I must say that that's what it is. And in my outline, I will introduce us into why we can be so busy and be yet slothful. And then we will look at the first point of understanding thought from analysis of some words that the Bible used to explain this problem we're talking about. And also understanding possible expression of slothfulness in the third servant's life from the scriptures. Basically, mainly from the Proverbs, because the wise man, Solomon, devoted time looking into this problem of slothfulness. And then how can we come out of slothfulness? And then we will conclude this. I must say, this has been an interesting journey for me personally, looking at this whole, I've never done any studies on slothfulness before. And it was a great journey. The one who wrote this book that we're looking at, Killjoys, has said that when it comes to being sloth, there are three areas. You can be sluggard. That's what we know most of the time. Whereby you are lazy, whatever. We'll analyze that and see. Then he also says you can even be a workaholic and be slothful in your ways and things about God. Because the main reason that you are being slothful is that you want to be somebody on your own, which drives you away from God. And your life becomes so sloppy that you are slothful. Then he says also that there are times also your life can be like a zombie. Maybe somebody who was dead and just woke up and starting to walk. Somebody have to push you. So the world pushes you away, sloppily, you go there. So I'm not sure, but as we look at this, I saw myself personally in all these three areas in life. But that's why this sin of sloth or slothfulness is considered as one of the deadly sins. And we will look into them. But looking at this morning from this passage that we are reading, you could see how the master left these people with his property and says, I'm going. And of course, they knew what would happen in the end. And in the end, he describes the one as slothful. But if we should read in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, this whole question of slothfulness is linked with service in the house of the Lord. It's linked to how we work with God. Romans 12, verse 11 says, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. New Living Transition says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. So, sometimes you need to ask yourself, in my service for the Lord, am I so enthusiastic about it? Or somebody have to push me like a zombie? Or, I'm so busy that I don't care about the work of God. That's what we are talking about. And something interesting happened this morning. You know, as we come before this is not a... Sometimes as Christians, we need to receive God even when he's hard on us because he has something nice for us. It's like you get into a mirror and please don't stand before the mirror and tell the mirror you are wrong. There's nothing wrong with me. When actually you can see something here. But even as you have stood before the mirror, there are times you need to let other people also help you because on your way coming to where you are going, you don't know what will happen. It happened this morning. We were ready to come to church. I went to the mirror to look at myself. Oh, yeah. I look like a preacher. That's good. Now, we want to open the gate. The gate will not open. Wow. So we delayed. We had to go in. I got a key and I had to do it manually. Not knowing in the process something happened here. I didn't know. So I came here and I was talking to Craig. Craig says, Bessie, what is here? I said, no, yeah, I'm looking at him. What is here? I mean, I look in the mirror. Everything was okay. I said, yeah, maybe it's a paint. So immediately I went to the bathroom and checked. There it was. Immediately I had to start washing this cloth down there. Because I can't stand people here. Instead of you listening to the message, you'll be looking, what is here? What is wrong here? So people, we have to come before God like this. So that God will tell us what is wrong with us. Can you imagine being a young lady, maybe in the home, and now somebody says, I'm interested in you, can we meet? And you want to go excitedly and have a first date with this person. And maybe you put on your nice something. If your mother laughs you and says, probably this is not the way to go. Put on this. A good mother will help the daughter to say, put on this one. It suits you nicely. And we should be ready. Don't say, this is what I want. Sometimes I'm ready to go to work. I put on some, Beatrice says, but Ben, were you not wearing this yesterday? But I know that's what I want. I say, no, you have to change. And so as we come before God, looking at this killjoys, let's look at ourselves. Don't look at somebody else in this mirror and say, am I slothful? What can I do so that the joy of the Lord will be my strength? In doing this, I did a bit of reading and checking. And you know what? There's an animal in South America called sloth. The picture doesn't show. This animal is depicting what we are talking about. In fact, according to some of those who've written about this animal, it can sleep anywhere, on the tree. Sometimes it hangs on, it's like it's going to fall, but it's asleep. And it can sleep between 15 to 18 hours a day. So to him, life, and one other important thing about this sloth is that he doesn't care. In fact, some people go to South America just to look at this. So sometimes they are there and a lot of people are running, shouting, taking pictures. It doesn't care. They are asleep. People, slothfulness is depicted in this way. And some of the writers who look at this thing says that one of the reasons why this is one of the deadly sins, the seven deadly sins, is that this sin can keep you from becoming what God wants you to be without knowing it. I'm telling you, God has positioned you in your place, but you can be so slothful that you don't achieve what God wants you to be. And this is one of the biggest sin of the church today that even leaders cannot see, because even us as leaders are affected by it. And he says, at any time, some of the writers say, in any church, about 80% of the people are living with this sin. And it is a sin of omission. You know, normally we commit sin. You do something. You do. This is a sin that you don't do. And that's why you can't afford to do it. It's there in your face. And you know what James says? James in chapter 4, verse 17 says, whoever knows the right thing and do not do. You see, you don't do. Who you know the right thing and do not do or fails to do, for him it is sin. So there's a sin of omission. A sin where you don't do what you're supposed to do is sin. The NIV says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and does not do it sins. So that's what I'm saying. It's a sin of omission. It's in your face. And if you're not careful, you find yourself in it. And one of the biggest things about this sin is that even the church in Laodicea, in the Bible, Revelation, was living in this sin. He says, we are rich. We've got everything. But God comes and says, you are lukewarm. You are neither hot
nor cold. I will spit you out of my mouth. That's slothfulness. You don't know where you stand. If there, you know, there's, I'm not sure whether it's an animal or a bird. It's called bat. And I was told in a story that the animals and the birds had a fight. And when he sees the birds are winning, he flies and joins the bird. When he sees the animals are winning, then he becomes, he shows the teeth and says, I'm an animal. Some of us are like that in our lives. At one time or another, are we hot or are we cold? And that's what God is talking about. So in trying to understand this slothfulness, I did a word search. The word sloth means reluctance to work or make an effort. I'm not sure if anyone has been there before. You look at this and say, I'm not going there. No, 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 not me, not me, not me. Or you don't even make the effort when you can. That is called sloth. And this shows itself in different words. If you have, normally, what I did here is I look at Microsoft Word and you right click it and it shows you all the words. It gives you anytime five of them. And slothfulness is about laziness. It's about idleness. It's about sluggishness, indolence, and apathy. In fact, some of the words I've never heard before, as you see. Then I took each one of them trying to understand what they mean. Laziness means the quality of being unwilling to work or use your energy. Now I said, what are the synonyms? What are the other? It says idleness, lethargy, indolence, sluggishness. And this one, languor. I've never seen it before. But it's in the same. Idleness is avoiding work. You see them coming, immediately you turn around. Oh, the chairs are not clean. Yeah. You only come up when everything is ready. In our workplace, it happens. In the church, it happens. Oh, they're still carrying the chairs. Sluggishness is slow moving. You know, work requires the time to occupy. What it means is that sometimes a work that can be done in 15 minutes. You know this one. If I'm at my best, 15 minutes it should be done. You take the whole 3 hours. Oh no, I'm still on it. How is it? Oh, I'm still on it. Why? Because you are buying time to do something else. That is being slothful. We all do it. We all do that. Indolence is avoiding activity or exertion. And it has laziness, lethargy, and all that. Then the worst of them is apathy. I don't care. Leave me alone. I don't care. Indifference. It says lack of interest or enthusiasm or concern. Are you so concerned about this church? That you can come to the leaders and say, no, no, we are not going anywhere. Please, can you? Are you concerned? Oh, well, that's being apathetic. It shows itself in indifference, lethargy, laziness, boredom. That word is the word, one of the biggest words we have. You are so bored. I'm not going to church today. It's so boring. The songs they sang last week. I'm not going this morning. I would rather have a fellowship with my TV. Boredom is one of the things about this. This word, for the first time I saw it, it says ennui. I had to click the listening because I was going to say ennui. But it says it's pronounced ennui. A feeling of listlessness and dissatisfaction arising from lack of occupation or excitement. And so these are some of the things that slothfulness is about. So when the owner, when the master came and finally declared, you know, there were two things, two people, there were three of them, two were good. In fact, it was a repeated, it's like the master had already rehearsed what he was going to tell his people, his servants. So if all of them had done well, good and faithful servant, good and faithful. But this one came, the master was so angry. He said, wicked and slothful servant.
Meaning, all the words that we have been looking at, in one way or another, this guy exhibited them. Just like I do. And I need to stand before this mirror and say, which of this is affecting me? The master was a good leader. Before he left, he knew the people. And for me, he trusted them. He trusted them so much, but he knew the ability. You cannot give all of them 5, 5, 5. Someone got 5, another one got 2. And can you imagine if this one who got 1 and could not even do anything about was given 5? What would have happened? He could have died. The master would come and say, the guy died because the money was too much. I was told of somebody who said, no, I need money. And he went and got this lotto thing. And then you've won the jackpot. Me? The moment he hit his, me? That was the end of him. He became naked, walking, running around. Me? Because his mind could not handle that amount of money. And sometimes we blame God. Why haven't you given me this? God knows your ability. Don't sit there thinking, why is that one that and why? You are being slothful. And that's what is happening here. Let's look at a few things in terms of trying to understand the possible expression of this man. And I'll read through quickly some of the passages in Proverbs. Proverbs, you see, this guy had the spirit of entitlement. By hook or crook, it's mine. Why should you have it and not me? That spirit was in this. Proverbs says, the soul of the sluggard graves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent richly supplied. The desire to have it is there, but he will get nothing. Why? Because he does not work for it. He does not have time to do the right thing. And as a result, what happens? He begins to envy people. If possible, I'll take it away from you. 21, 25, and 26 says, the desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. All day long, he craves and craves, but righteous gives and does not hold back. That's the sluggard. That's the slothful person. He craves, he has desires, but he cannot get it. And so you know what he did? He accused the master. He just came and said, I knew you are wicked. You are wicked. You are a hard man. You grow where this. So he's trying to say, I need to get what you've given them. I heard the report. The first one got a good and faithful servant. He knew, but he says, I want to have as much as them. It's because you are a hard man. That's why I didn't do my work. So give it to me. It's a spirit of entitlement. The second thing is that the slothful does not complete what they begin, and they even waste resources. If we are children of God and we always start something, we don't see to the end of it, then there's a problem. Chapter 12, verse 27 says, whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent will get precious wealth. This man goes hunt all night. Maybe get a big antelope or deer or whatever, brings home. It's lying there. It's the carcass vultures that will eat. He can't even, once you've got the game, come as a hunter, do it, dress it nicely, and even if you cannot eat, call people to come and eat. He just throws it there. He can't roast his own game. It means he does not finish. But the word of God says, and God, this is what God says. He says, Philippians 1:6 says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work will bring to completion. That is the nature of God. When God starts something, he finishes. Otherwise, some of us will be walking with our head off because God didn't finish putting your head on. But whatever God starts, he finishes. And he expects us to do that. That's why in 2 Corinthians 8:6, accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, he should complete among you the act of grace. Paul ensured that whatever Titus started in raising money should go back and make sure it's completed. Philippians 2:1-3 says, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord with one mind. God wants us to complete, we as his people, to complete his joy. And that's why, as our sister was telling us this morning, we need to forgive one another. Make the effort as a child of God. Some of us, we are so afraid. Even when somebody has done something against us, we are afraid to go and say, "Sisi, what you did to me was not right. No, I cannot do that." We need to look at these things. This guy who did not finish means this thing went waste. Wasteful expenditure normally happens under our watch as people of God. Even in our own business, we need to ask ourselves, are we doing the right thing? Are we, if you look into the Bible, John 6 and John Mark 8, when Jesus fed the 5,000 people and later 4,000 people, the Bible says he asked them to collect whatever was left so that there will be no wastage. In our lives, when you are slothful, there's a lot of things that go waste. And we don't reap the benefits. One of the things that has excited me about the work we are doing in CCP is that when we knew our funding was coming to an end by September last year, we did not finish our money. And so we gathered everything and wrote to the funder that we have some money saved. Can they give us a no-cost extension? And they agreed and even added something to it. That is what has kept us up to today. Sometimes we waste so much. Why take a mountain of food when you know you can only eat a little bit? We do that. Sometimes we go for conferences. Some people are there. I mean, why? We know it. And we are speaking to each one of us. We are wasting. If you cook supper and some remain, why don't you put it in the fridge and maybe in the morning warm it and take it to work? It will help you for lunch. You don't have to buy. People, we need to learn all these strategies, and God is going to be with us. He does not have accountability to anyone in order to take good care of what he has or for it to bear fruit. And this is what happened. In Proverbs 24, verse 30, he says, I passed by the field of the sluggard, that is a slothful person, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and I considered it. I looked and received instruction. A sleep, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. You know, there are times, even when we have made an effort, and God has given us something, we don't take good care of it. If we take good care of the things that God gives us, we will not be spending the amount we spend. And our family will be blessed. Sometimes you see our own thing lying there and we step on it and move around. We are lazy to pick it up. People, God wants us to take good care of the things he's given us. In every way, in our homes, in our workplace, because it's going to be a blessing for us. The slothful person believes too much in himself. He doesn't see opinions of others. He doesn't see what people can contribute even in their own lives. He says, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. And we all do that. There are times, I am number one. I want to go my own way, like Frank Sinatra, instead of checking with others. I wish this guy had checked with the others. So how is it? I don't think he checked with them. So what is going on with your money? Oh, no, we have started a business. This he wouldn't care. He's sleeping. He's enjoying himself somewhere. He's busy for nothing. The Bible calls it busybody. But in consultation, they could have said, oh, you have one, you got one talent. Well, you can use it this way, that way, or even take it to the bank. You get interest. But immediately, he dug a hole and put it in. Let's consult with one another and see what God will do in our lives. The sluggard also procrastinate so that he could enjoy the leisure for some time. Look, it's good after hard work to go a bit of fishing and relax. It's very important. But don't, your work that has to be done, don't leisure at the expense of what has to be done and expect money to come. It doesn't work that way. Proverbs 6 says, verse 6, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and like an armed man. And so, the Bible also in Proverbs 24, verse 4 says, the sluggard does not plow in autumn. He will seek harvest and will have nothing. If you don't plow, how do you get harvest? People, we need to invest time. Some of us are like that. We know this assignment is due in 2 weeks. And your friends said they are going here, you follow them. This one said they are going, oh yeah, where, tomorrow where? Then you follow them. Now a day before you realize you have this assignment. How do you get expect a good marks? And now you say, this lecturer doesn't like me. Who told you that? Who told you that? Do your assignment, and after you finish, begin to enjoy. Go with your friends. This whole question of procrastination, I will do it tomorrow. I will try the next, it will not help us. And definitely promotion eludes the slothful. There's no way he will get promotion. 12:24 says, the hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Will be put to forced labor. You know, there are some people who try. I know in our modern world, depend upon, I mean, some people think that's what is happening today, that the mere fact that you are in one job and you have a trail of jobs before you, it means your CV is good. These days, people's eyes are opening. It doesn't work that way. Because some people, they will come to this department. The very day they landed, they are looking for the next job opportunity. So even in the office, they are looking through. Because they are already here, their salary has been pushed up. So they can tell the other one, look, I'm now on 30, can you pay 35? And then once it comes, some people, you get them in a job, 3 months, gone. It's being slothful. Though you think you are, and that's what we were talking about, greediness last week. You are piling money. Look, your worth is very important in terms of the things you have in the Lord. And the Lord will provide. Yes, we need the money, but if you are faithful, God will provide. God will provide. I remember we worked with some guy, and your sins will find you not anyway. He had an opportunity and left there. And this person was in trouble. Big, big, big trouble. Because now the post now is bigger than who he is. So he has to be calling my people to say, how do you do this? How do you do that? How do you do that? It's not. Today we have in countries, in government, we have people who are in positions, they have to hire two or more people to do their job for them. It's wrong. We are cheating the people of the community. So instead of the money going to help the people in the community, it's taking care of me. That's being slothful. And we need to seek God to help us. We pray. It's like we are in a mirror, as I'm saying, and ask God to help us. The joy of the Lord will definitely be our strength. And then the slothful people put fear in other people. That's what they do. That's how they work their way out. Put fear in you. The sluggard says in 22 verse 13, there's a lion outside. I shall be killed in the streets. Who tells you lions walk in the streets? The same thing is repeated in 26 verse 13. There's a lion on the road. There's a lion in the streets. And you know what? He puts fear. There's a lion. Don't go there. You'll be shot. Don't go there. Don't go there. It's God who cares for us. God has tamed. Otherwise, what about all these elephants that are here got angry and they start coming? God will not allow that. He keeps us. And these are the people who begin to now put fear in people. No, you know, he says he's a hard man. And he did not sow where, and he reaps where he did not sow. So he's instigating. He's a hard man. Sometimes when people tell you about your boss, oh, he's this, he's that, he's that. Find out yourself. Don't listen. And then before you know, the next thing you are tutoring. You tutoring without knowing what is it that you are tutoring for. You just have your placard. So all you go, you pick it and you are following. No. We need to be sensible. We need to ask God to help us. Quickly, how do we come out of this? How do we come out of this? I mean, we are all there. I am there. I've seen myself in many ways. Remember that we were saved to work. Our work did not save us. But when we God saved us, he marked out something for us to do. Ephesians chapter 2 says, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of your work. That's when we all understand. But verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand for us to do or walk in them. Then 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. We are can you imagine? We are in God's team. We are co-workers with God. Sometimes we lose sight of that. So we need to remember that. And because of that, we need to take whatever God has called us to do seriously. If it means just talking to the neighbor of yours who is a Muslim who doesn't know the Lord, just ask God, God, give me wisdom to talk to this person. Sometimes, maybe by playing with your children, they see the quality. God can do that. They will see the quality of your life, even in them. And so, that's the first thing. The second thing is that we need to remind ourselves that we cannot do God's work anyhow. You know, sometimes it's like, God, we are doing you a favor, you know. And when I became a Christian, this is one scripture that touched me. Really touched me. It says in Jeremiah 48 verse 10, a curse is on him who is lax in doing the Lord's work. That's in NIV. ESV says, curse is anyone who does the work of the Lord with slackness. Others look negligently, half-hearted, and all that. But people, let's know that we are in God's team. And let's say, Lord, I'm here for you. Guide me. Help me. I'm weak, but you are strong. Give me the strength and then do it. Then finally, we need to wake up. We have been sleeping for a long time. I'm number one. I need to wake up. The Bible in Ephesians chapter 5 says, verse 13, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up. Oh, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He will shine on us. He will help us. He will help us. Let's just wake up. Let's say, Lord, we are here for you. James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let's wash this slothfulness away, and the Lord will help us. And when we do that, as Nehemiah says, go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Let's not be discouraged. God wants us to look clean when we have a date with him and know that he loves us. Shall we pray?